This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. It's always a pleasure for my annual Get Witch with Mully and Haw.
It's always good to catch up with you, and obviously... our mutual friend Dustin Rhodes arranges this, so always a joy from my days when I was at Sporting News Radio.
The Wonder Grump is always upset, but he always calls me, so I guess we're still getting along.
I don't know how you do it. So, Tim, help us out. Who do you like to win this tournament? Who has caught your eye? I mean, we said going in there might be six teams. But how many are possibly winning the championship, in your opinion?
Well, I like Auburn. I just think they're the most complete team, and I also think it's Bruce Pearl's time. I think navigating the different stages, the different plateaus that you have, I do think coaching does matter in times like these. Tom Izzo, I feel similarly about, but I think the issue for him is Ole Miss is sort of like playing – it's sort of like playing Pearl, because Chris Beard's been there and done that too, and Ole Miss plays a lot like Michigan State plays. So that's an incredible matchup. We got great matchups all across the board. I do think, and I want to just serve this up first and foremost for you guys, if you don't mind. There is so much inadequacy and inaccuracy on college athletics, on sports media today, particularly on the daytime Embrace Nothing debate shows that are on. They don't cover the college game at all until Selection Sunday. And when they do, they make fools of themselves. To say that Cinderella is dead and the tournament has lost its luster because we don't have a true Cinderella. What the hell is Arkansas? They started 0-5. Just because they're Arkansas and Cal's coaching, if you look at the number next to their name, I'd say that's a hell of a run. That's a hell of a slipper story. You know, years ago, Dale Brown took a team to the Final Four as an 11 seed, and he had been to the Final Four in 81. He was still a Cinderella in 86. What the hell's why can't Arkansas be considered a Cinderella? Colorado State could have very easily beaten Maryland, and they would be a Cinderella. So to say that the games are not as competitive, and because of NIL and the portal, this thing's going in the tank, that is such a crock of fill in the blank, okay?
I don't know, Tim.
It's absolutely absurd. The people making these statements cover the NBA, okay? The people that are saying that, oh, by God, Derrick Queen took four steps. What the hell has LeBron been taking for the last 20 years in the NBA? I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of people that weigh in on college athletics for three blanking weeks that don't know jack about squat, having a platform to demean everything college. If it's a college event, we'll go after it. We're not going to go after the NBA. Nobody's watching the NBA. Their ratings are in the tank. millions and billions of dollars are being spent on a sport that's not serving its audience very well at all, so much so to the point that ratings don't seem to matter. And yet we've got the best ratings ever in college athletics, and all we want to talk about is how corrupt it is. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Wow. I respect your passion. I don't necessarily agree that the mid-major...
You're from Chicago, I get it. Yeah, you're from Chicago.
I don't think that's fair either, Tim, honestly.
That's what it is, fellas. That's what it is.
Well, okay.
That's absolutely what it is. Well, you know, I'm in a flyover state. I'm in the part of America that's red. You're in a part of America that's blue. And we don't see eye to eye on politics or sports, okay? Bottom line, that's what it is. And that's being infused into the daily rhetoric, and it makes me sick.
Well, I'm sorry.
To throw the college game under the bus the way it gets thrown under the bus on a daily basis on all forms of media is egregious, and it happens every year at this time.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. You know, how much money did they pay Cal? How much money did they give him to put a team together? Think about it, Tim. How many guys? Yeah. Came into that program, how many new players? I'm sorry, but I can't fit the slipper on Kel's foot.
Okay. All right. Well, how many guys were sweating and toiling for all those years to help make those coaches and those programs all the money that they have and all the amenities that they have?
Totally agree.
And yet those players a couple of years away. So, the fact that name, image, and likeness is and the transfer portal is part of the equation is because of grandiose old people that wanted to keep all the money for themselves because there's some neo-colonial outfit that's been living off the work of others for years. It's called the NCAA, and that's why we're where we are today. The schools themselves and the players themselves had nothing to do with the fact that all of a sudden now they actually have a chance to make some money. And the fact that it's not regulated is indeed a problem.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got issues.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yes.
That's a separate issue altogether. What I'm saying to you is your feelings towards that influence and impact your view of how precious this event really is.
Well, but two things can be true, Tim. You can love and still watch the tournament and appreciate all the drama from the programs that remain in it in the Sweet 16 beginning tonight.
That's not the narrative all day.
Can I finish a thought? Can I finish a thought?
Yeah,
okay, thank you very much. What I spoke of Monday morning, like other people who do love college sports, you can't assume that we don't just because we live in Chicago. I'm only here because I was a college athlete. Tim, let me finish.
I've been in the business for 40 plus years.
Okay, and I respect that. Right. And we respect you.
Okay.
But let us finish here. The lack of the mid-major was missing from my perspective because colleges, it's harder to have the Butlers and the Valpos and the Southern Illinois because what they do, typically, Drake, they develop players for other programs, larger programs. So you have the Arkansas, which is a collection of other players who are using the transfer portal to their advantage. That's what we miss.
Right.
We miss the nostalgia things. You can miss that and still appreciate the tournament. Don't tell us how we're feeling about something when you really are. That's not a fair assumption by you.
Okay, if you're thinking that I'm generalizing and painting with too broad a brush, you have that right. Okay, good. You can feel that way. But there are also great players at bigger schools that have used the NIL and moved down so that they can get more playing time and have an opportunity to produce and get a chance to maybe play at another level. They're looking out for themselves as well, and I get that. That's part of it. But that Colorado State game was great. Yeah, they lost. Drake was a team that I thought would get through, and they lost.
Yep.
I think anyone that has followed my career understands how much I have always been for the so-called little guy. You know, the BCS I crucified because it did what? It hurt the little guy. And, yeah, what's going on to some extent has hurt mid-majors, no question about that. But it's not as if mid-majors don't have the chance to compete. They can, and, yes, NIL is part of what they're attempting to do as well. We've got a lot to fix, fellas. We got a lot to fix. But what I'm telling you is, when I turn on cable television, whether it's FS1 or ESPN, okay, I'm hearing the same kind of trash on a daily basis. And they never really want to talk about the game. It's never how competitive was that game? How great was that game between St. John's and Arkansas? How great was that matchup that Colorado State gave us against Maryland? Yeah, okay, the mid-major lost, but my God, it was competitive. Those kids, whether they're making some money off NIL or not, they're defending. They're not playing Matador defense like we see on a daily basis in the NBA, and yet all we see nationally on cable television is the same gobbledygook every stinking day. And when something good happens in college, let's find something wrong with it. That's what's happening on a daily basis in national media. Now, specifically, I got a little hard on you because every time I go on a station in New York, a station in Chicago, a station in Baltimore, a station in D.C., I get the same kind of rhetoric from people. You know why? Because they don't cover the college game on a regular basis. They pay attention along about the time Selection Sunday rolls around. The sport's been going on for 4 months, and nobody seemed to care. They don't know how games were played in mid-November that helped teams get in the tournament, and people are bitching and moaning about a team getting in, but they have no idea who they played or what their non-conference schedule looked like. This goes on a daily basis, and yet it is part of the volume that keeps these major companies like the one I work for and like the one I used to work for alive and well. So, yeah, I'm going to fight for what I think is right. And when people look down their noses at the college game and find nothing but corruption, nothing but something wrong with it, well, I'm gonna push back, and I'm going to push back hard.
I just FYI, okay, I went to Loyola of Chicago, which made the Final Four 7 years ago, and went to the game.
Great story.
I still watch the Missouri Valley because I – watched it for so long. I watch the A-10 now, and I look at those teams, and I see it. And Loyola just won last night in the NIT, and I'm following their progression through that tournament. So I think that what I'm looking at, Tim, from my perspective as a fan of a program, is that we got a young center there. A kid can jump out of the gym. Who knows? Maybe someday his name is Miles Rubin, and we talked to the coach yesterday. He said several times that the kid's not going to leave because of money, because they've given a contract to the guys that they want to bring back, and they're trying to keep them and unprecedented amount of money. The way he was talking about it makes me feel like that kid's going to get transferred, right? And I think that is the problem for most mid-major schools. And so we talk about it through our own perspective and experience, and we're not bad-mouthing college sports. I'm glad the kids are finally getting money. I think that's good. But I also think...
But you can hear the concern in the coach's voice.
Exactly. We're in the wild, wild west.
This is the challenge they face that they didn't face 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
And we're not bad-mouthing it, but it's different and it's tough.
Right. We're talking apples and oranges here, fellas. My discussion, based on the opening question here and that you brought up, again, got me going because I still believe there's more right than wrong about NIL in the portal. The young man, Brakefield, who came in from a major city and transferred in to play at Ole Miss, he brought a kid, a special needs kid, with him and had the money generated from Ole Miss that he could afford to bring him, and he got it cleared with Chris Beard before he brought him. There are some amazing stories out there that players that are doing really good things with the $500,000 or maybe a little bit more that they're getting to go play at some of these major schools. So it's not all bad. The issue, though, becomes how easy the narrative is for those that live in a hot take sports media world. It's so easy to throw the game under the bus when, in fact, it's the people that governed it that put him in this spot.
But we didn't do that, though.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We never did that. But there are 35 conferences in college basketball, and four are represented in the Final 16, including one, Duke, the only one from the ACC. What we're noticing is that there had never been fewer than seven conferences in the tournament.
It's more homogenous than ever.
And now, exactly what David said. And so the little guy, the guys from the mid-major school that I went to, they are not able to do those surprise runs, these magical, because And again, Arkansas doesn't count because of Cal and the money. The money.
Yeah. Well, sure. But, I mean, Colorado State damn near won that game. I mean, they could have very easily won that game. It's not that they suddenly aren't competitive, because they are. It just so happened that the big conferences won. And by the way, when you get 14 in, as the SEC did, you know, you shouldn't be shocked that 50% of them, you know, got to the second weekend, which they did. So that's part of it. The NCAA is talking. We don't need to suddenly expand the tournament because of that. That would be a huge mistake. I mean, we've got the right number. The postseason is in fine shape. We need to fix the regular season. We need to move the calendar. In college basketball, it needs to be moved up and back. We don't need to be hurrying to finish college basketball before the Masters begins. That's an outdated thing, all right? Mm-hmm. Turner's paying 80% of the freight anyway. So, you know, we don't have to hurry now to get the azaleas to bloom and to watch the pristine setting at Augusta National. And by the way, I love golf.
Sure.
Underground knows that too.
Yep.
We need to start college football 2 weeks earlier, and we need to eliminate spring football altogether. We don't need the college game to be going up against wild card playoff games and divisional playoff games. Let's move the calendar needs to move back in football, and it needs to move forward in basketball. College has got a lot of issues right now, and the first and foremost thing it needs to do is have the conference commissioners take control of their product. And I think that's what both Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey are attempting to do. And I do think they have more than just their own constituency in mind now. And I've been critical of the big boys for many, many years when they only considered their chosen few. And, you know, the Neanderthals that govern the BCS. I said it how often? You know, the BCS World in Crisis Countdown. I said it how often? I've been pounding the pavement on this for the better part of my entire career. So you're preaching to the choir when you're talking about the little guy.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you is, Don't tell me that suddenly this event has lost its luster solely because there's seven SEC teams and four Big Ten teams, and you know, Duke is Duke and they're in, and then the Big 12's got their fair share.
Tim, thank you. We're out of time.
Thanks
gotta
for your
go
passion. We got to go.
We love your passion, and thanks for the argument. Appreciate it. That's Tim Brandt.
This tournament down to 16 teams. College Hoops coverage on The Score brought to you by Bet365.
That was fun, David. Way to go after him. Way to fight back.